Hello, Virgo, and welcome back to your Vision Quest audio reading. It is a day later with an episode of Planet Waves FM in between, and a horoscope, and a trip to New Paltz. I went somewhere today. I feel like I've been sitting at my desk for about 90 days doing this project. A few astrology afterthoughts for you, then I'm going to tell you about that book, and then I'm going to tell you about those runes. Astrology afterthoughts. All right. I mentioned the kind of extension of Pisces into your sign by way of Jupiter and the extension of your sign into Pisces by way of Chiron. And this is a kind of an honorary mutual reception. I don't consider modern planets to rule signs per se, like Chiron doesn't really rule Virgo, but certainly exalted in Virgo. It has a resonance with Virgo. And so wherever Chiron goes, little piece of you goes, and currently it's going into your environment and your relationships. And this is why I'm talking about the ability you have to serve as a catalyst in your environment and to have more of an influence than you think, even if some people might be a little miffed or annoyed or whatever. You wake them up, you know, you're keeping them on their toes, making them pay attention, whatever that might be, but in a friendly way, of course. And then Jupiter, definitely ruler of Pisces, is in your sign. And here's one thought that's come to me, which is you need to be careful about not doing the work that other people are supposed to do, not doing their work for them. This can happen in an interpersonal relationship. It could happen easily in a work relationship, since work is so meaningful to you. And it could happen if you are in the role of a healer of some kind. An unusually high percentage of my readers and listeners are involved in the healing arts, which makes sense since I have a strong focus on Chiron. And therefore, it's necessary to be mindful of taking on the burdens and the work of others. And the way this shows up is that, you know, Jupiter in your sign is resonating with everything going on in Pisces. And there's a lot going on with Pisces in Pisces, which means in your relationships and with people around you and in your environment. And there's a wide diversity of things. If we were to look at each of the planets in Pisces as representing some aspect or phase of the healing process, we get people who are healing abuse. We get people who may be healing alcohol and drug dependency in the form of Neptune. We may see unbalanced artists who are in your environment and, you know, all they can do is like smoke pot and write songs. There's plenty of people like that. And, you know, they might write fantastic songs. It might be a little bit difficult to get along with them otherwise, especially if there's commitments involved. With Boris Cici, there is the thing about people kind of healing potentially wacky religious values or dealing with issues of belief and with faith and grappling with where they should invest their faith, whether they should invest it in seemingly otherworldly spiritual systems or seemingly worldly belief systems like science. And then, of course, there is Chiron, which describes a couple of things. One is you in your environment in the role of someone who is the bringer of consciousness. And it's crucial to not bring too much consciousness. You want to measure the amount of consciousness you bring. If you have access to the Aquarius reading, which I would highly recommend, there being some marvelous parallels between Virgo and Aquarius, mainly in the form of serving as central processing centers of the zodiac. The piece for Aquarius is called In the Land of the Blind, and it's a reference to an Orson Welles story, excuse me, H.G. Wells, his uncle, story called The Country of the Blind, wherein a sighted person winds up in a valley full of blind people and is quickly regarded as someone who is insane. And all he's doing is pointing out the obvious. And there can be some of that phenomenon with Chiron projected into your, seventh house. and especially in Pisces, where things might not be what they seem. And so particularly with a collection of planets like this, really quite a motley crew of planets, and all of them interesting, all of them helpful, it's necessary to have reality checks. You have to know the bottom line of reality, and you need objective means of testing, whether that means going to a therapy session every month or maybe every week, or having people who are keenly good at seeing through bullshit. That would be good. And basically to serve as a kind of a check stop of your own consciousness, as a balance, as a way to make sure that you are seeing what is there to be seen. So you need a sighted person to do this. You couldn't talk to one of the proverbially blind people. An actually blind person may be the proverbially sighted person. In any event, there is considerable room for projection with this setup the way that it is. There is the ability for you to also to take on the burdens of others and, you know, be led to do their work for them. And I just suggest you be mindful of this. I can tell you, as an astrologer who works with clients, it's something I have to watch for all the time, particularly since people tend to show up for an astrology session or two or three actually needing to have started therapy 15 years ago. And so there can be quite a bit that they need to process, and they show up with all of it. As Fritz Perls said in one of his books, Fritz Perls being one of the co-developers of Gestalt therapy, that the client shows up with all of the unfinished business of the past. They bring all of the unfinished business of the past into the counseling room. And so this is a metaphor for life, where people do tend to show up with all the unfinished business of the past, and with the combination of Nessus, Borsisi, Chiron, Neptune, and the South Node, we really are talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly here. And so you need to know who's who and what is what. Voila. That's my main astrology afterthought. Now, as for, first of all, your artifact, I've chosen a book, the only book in the whole series. I've had to get a bit creative to find the thing that I think symbolizes the most important thing for that any particular sign and for the energy of the particular sign this year, and this book works. The book is called Prisma, and it's by a guy named Frans Vermeulen. And a lot of research assistance. If you ever get this book in your hands, and I would caution that it costs about $100, but you will never regret buying it, because it is one of the very best books of its kind, and the kind that it is of is called a Materia Medica. I didn't realize that most people don't know what a Materia Medica is until I showed the picture of the rune spread to someone, and he said, what's a Materia Medica? And I said, a Materia Medica is a book of materials, materia, that's plural, and plural for substances of a medical nature, healing remedies of various kinds. And the beauty of Prisma is that it is a thorough review of every one of the remedies. And it's not a book with the most remedies in it. And then there's a second volume, which has another 50. So it's a very good start. There's about 50 remedies in this book. And the beauty of this book is that it integrates the cultural history of the substance, the herbal properties of the substance, the chemical properties of the substance, and finally the homeopathic properties of the substance. When the substance is put into a potentization process and diluted beyond the point where there is any measurable level of the substance left, and so what you get with the Prisma Materia Medica is an integrative work of everything: culture, chemistry, herbalism and homeopathy, you find out things like there is a possibility that one of the agricultural products that caused humans to want to stop in one place for a while and, you know, have a farm was cannabis, about 5,000-year-old substance and used for all the things we do with it today. Amazingly, it has managed to survive, and then so you learn that cultural history, that kind of backstory, and then get the herbal and other, particularly the homeopathic properties. Now, the beauty of this work is it is integrative. It is not a thing that says it's not partisan. It's not saying that herbs are bad and homeopathic remedies are good. It's just telling you the whole story, and this is a metaphor for the integrative way in which your mind functions. And one of the ways that you might think of Jupiter in your sign, with like five major points in Pisces being kind of an e pluribus unum of the many, one, and you become the transduction vehicle, the kind of magnet and absorption vehicle that then does the work of emotional and mental integration of your environment and of the people in your environment. So there's something very much that is integrative about what you are doing. And that's part of my reason for cautioning you against doing the work of others. And so, referencing back to that point for half a moment, you need your ways to make sure that people are on their own game, basically, and that they're not just showing up with a world of troubles and you're just the next person in line, but also you want to make sure that you're not trying too hard to change their trajectory in any way or to fix them, that you do what you can and you see if they respond to a suggestion, an idea, your friendship, the fact that you might make them dinner, whatever it might be, and pay attention. Because there's a lot coming in your direction, a lot of movement, a lot of energy, a lot of kinds of energy all at once. And when the eclipses come, it's going to rev up the whole metabolic process of that. And it's possible you'll get through this without any mishaps, but when there's this much energy happening, it's certainly possible for there to be a mishap, small or large, and you just want to figure out what happened. Add that to the list of things. You'll figure out how not to let happen again and move on to the next thing. All right. The next thing being these runes. Happy, happy, happy runes. First rune keeps showing up. There's interesting patterns here in this. As you study the visual presentation of all 12 of these, which I'm going to make public, certain ones seem to keep recurring, and it seems like four of yours keep recurring, and I believe one, Soelu, the fourth rune from the right, is one we're seeing for the first time, but we start this in a happy place, and that would be with Wunjo, joy, happiness, and about just a... It's kind of the get happy rune. It's like you figure out one day that there's no point not being happy, even though you may have unresolved stuff and things you want to change and all that. Life is short, and it seems that you understand that the approach to take from the outset is a happy approach. And that's good to see in any reading for a Virgo, where typically the approach one takes is the I will do this all approach. I will serve as long as necessary, however I might feel. And it may be that your happiness is the acceptance of the scenario that you have and the work that needs to be done. But whatever that may be, that is the rune of joy, happiness. Next one, Othelia. That's the one that looks like a little diamond-shaped fish pointing up. That is the rune of separating paths. I think of it as a rune of discernment, a rune of sorting out, a rune of choosing what helps and what does not help, a rune of legacy and inheritance. And this is really the rune to know when you need to take a different path. is the challenge being, I would say, given that you are in a, it looks like, a pretty positive frame of reference, frame of mind, that knowing when something is good for you or not good for you, when something is nourishing and when something or someone is depleting, is essential knowledge to have. All right. The next one is Tewas. This is a powerful old rune, and it is a symbol of basically warriorship. It's kind of the symbol of the way of the peaceful warrior, and it resembles the Mars symbol. It resembles the Sagittarius symbol. It resembles the Eris symbol, which is a new symbol, only the Eris symbol is pointing down. It resembles the European symbol for Uranus, which you can find in the Aquarius glyph, the art for the Aquarius glyph. And in any event, it is the rune that was painted onto the bodies or armor of warriors going into battle. So it is about the direct confrontation, the willingness to engage directly and to confront and to, be present for what it is that you need to do, that needs to be done. Okay, next one is Soweilu. This is the rune of the Gayatri, the awesome prayer. You who are the source of all power, whose rays light up the whole world, illuminate also my heart, so that it too may do your work. This is the rune of the sun, so it is a solar rune, and it is another rune of protection, of integration, and of kind of inherent organic spirituality. Right? I mean, if you really respect the sun and the seasons and the earth and the creatures of the earth, who the fuck needs God? You have God implied in the love of all things living and of all things, really. So, I mean, I think that often God is a kind of a substitute for respect. And we see a lot of disrespectful things done in the name of God. And so when you look up at the sun, any time that you do that, don't stare for too long. But remember the Gayatri. Again, you who are the source of all power, whose rays light the whole world, illuminate also my heart, so that it too may do your work. And you just envision the rays of the sun streaming into you and then streaming back out from your heart center. And then one last one, Ewas, the rune of movement. And this is the rune of movement, and it's also a solar rune associated with the movement of the sun across the sky, with the sensation of being transported from one phase of life to another, from one place to another, and also the taming of the horse and the collaboration of the horse and the human being. I mean, imagine, if you've ever met a horse, and especially if you've ever seen a wild horse, imagine the kind of mental, spiritual, and overall just basically plain old discipline that it would take to tame a horse or to enter into any collaboration with a horse. And the horse must maintain its vitality and some of its power, and yet you become the person who is able to harness that power, to perhaps direct it in a certain way, and then that becomes the vehicle of movement. And if you think of all the ways in which the horse has served the human race, thankfully in most places the horse is getting a rest for a while. We'll probably be back at a certain point, but it is now in a phase of just chilling out and not doing, all of the heavy, burdensome work of the human race. All right, that is your pretty darn happy, friendly rune reading, and the formula being summing up happiness, joy, and then continuing the path of discernment, the evaluating things on the basis of whether they're helpful or they're hurtful, That includes legacies and inheritances of any kind, which you must fully take on board and then determine what you want to keep and what you want to cast off. Tewas, the rune of the warrior who is willing to engage directly, and the rune of the intention of aspiration of the arrow that flies. That looks what that rune is. Followed up by the first of two solar runes, solar being expressive, being about wholeness, and also emphasizing the idea of distinction, because it is in sunlight that we really can see contrast more fully. And then Ewa's movement, the rune of the arc of the sun, the rune of taming the horse, and the rune of your journey, your being transported from one phase of your life to another. I think that's what I have to say to you for now. I'm already planning the Tantra astrology reading, the spring reading, which I am planning to devote to the Mars retrograde from Sag back into Scorpio, which seems to me to be a magnificently apropos symbol of Tantra, of the path of conscious, spiritually grounded eroticism, and eroticism as the path of conscious spiritual grounding, the full integration of Sagittarius and Scorpio. Beautiful thing there. So look for that. And I'm also planning to do at least one of the generations readings in the spring, either born in the 60s or the book of your life about those born in the mid to late 40s into the 50s about the baby boomer generation. So there you have it. A pleasure as ever. Two signs of audio to go. I'm about to move on to Sagittarius, and thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of Planet Waves, and I will catch you on a different day. Bye for now.